Well, welcome to another episode of NFL Fantasy Matchup. Jed, good morning to you.
Good morning, brother. Good to see you.
Hey, yesterday was great. I was so looking forward to this game. How'd you feel about that game yesterday?
Oh, man, I was so excited. I couldn't contain myself. It was so good to have football back, and it was a great game. And not a great game, but it was a fun game. It was just good to see it go off without a hitch, so it was really exciting.
Well, you know, as we're going to talk about for yesterday's program yesterday's game, there was a lot of tidbits that we could glean from that game.
Oh, yeah, a lot of different little things. I mean, it was interesting, too. I think one thing, it was surprising just to see all the fans. And then the thing is I read there's only two stadiums where they're allowing fans that we'll be able to see on TV. So you'll just have to keep watching this weekend because the experience is going to be different. But yesterday almost felt normal with there being fans in the stands.
And the thing is, all of the crowd noise was from the fans. It actually was not piped in, and they just kept telling us over and over during the broadcast.
Yeah, well, and there was that whole little bit of potential booing. They're not sure now if it was booing, but there was a little bit of that when the two teams came out of the locker room and locked arms together at a moment of silence for kind of racial justice issues. So that was one potential controversy. And then also the Texans didn't come out for the national anthem. So that was interesting. It'll be interesting to see what other teams do.
Yep. As we looked at this specifically with the game, what stood out to you yesterday night?
I think, you know, so for me in the first 2 weeks of the season, usually, and particularly this year with no preseason, I was expecting the defenses to dominate a little bit because it takes the offense a little bit longer to get going, to find their groove. But man, Kansas City, that first quarter, Houston had their number. And then after that, they made some adjustments and just took off, and their offense looked really sharp. Feels like they picked up from where they left off. So I think that was one thing we really saw come out of last night.
Well, yesterday you saw Sammy Watkins have one of his three good games. Last year, we were just talking about he had three touchdowns the first game. Everyone started trading. Everyone started picking up him because he's usually on waivers, like even in all of our drafts. People are going to pick up on waivers and he's going to disappear for a couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be careful. I think that, again, first 2 weeks is a little bit of fool's gold because teams are still figuring things out. And so some of the trends that you see in the first 2 weeks actually don't hold. Sammy Watkins is a perfect example. Had three touchdowns in his first game last year, not a single touchdown after that. So you have to be really careful with that. But still, it could be a sign, so something to pay attention to.
Like another player who a lot of people will probably look at, Akins. He did decently well, but as you and I were talking about, you have to remember Brandon Cooks was struggling with the injury. And so a lot of times that will change in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, Cooks was coming. He was questionable, so I wasn't sure if he was going to play. And then it turned out he did, you know, suit up, but he was on a limited snap count. So he only had two catches for 20 yards. But Fuller really had a great game, but I think he's got to still watch that because Cooks is going to get more volume as he goes in there. So for Atkins, I think it's probably going to go away.
But Fuller is so fast, and he has that rapport with Watson. The only concern always with Fuller is whether or not he will get injured. But when he's on, he is so good.
Oh, yeah. He looked great yesterday, and, I mean, he was really carrying the offense for them. I mean, you could see with Deshaun Watson, I mean, if you have Watson, I have got him in one league, you know, you could tell that he was still adjusting to not having Hopkins. You know, he was still kind of trying to find his way a little bit and figure out his, you know, his wide receiver crew. So give him a little bit of time. I think you're going to have to be a little bit patient with Watson for this beginning of the season.
Yeah. What stood out for you? I think it's the obvious, but what was one player that stood out for you?
Well, obviously the rookie, right? Yeah. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, everyone, he was a top 10 draft pick and he paid out. I mean, he sure looked good. Tony Dungy on the commentary was saying how he reminded him of work done. And so that to me was like, man, that is the ultimate stamp of approval. This guy is like a scat back, super fast. He made in his 27 yard touchdown run, he made people miss more than once, looked really good, and actually only had a couple catches. So you got to think that they're going to continue to use his pass catching ability even more. So if you drafted this guy, you're feeling really good after last night.
I still remember Louis Riddick of ESPN says that if he had a chance, he would draft him with his number one pick. He's that good over Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, I mean, he sure looked it last night. 138 yards, rushing yards, and a touchdown on 25 carries. They also, you got to really like the 25 carries from Kansas City because Kansas City has not traditionally, you know, really honed in on the running game. They committed 25 carries is solid for a running back. And so, if you have him, you got to be really happy and feeling good about the future.
The only thing that I didn't notice is there was a series where Kansas City was right on the one. It was first down on the one, and they gave it to Hilaire about three times. And from that point on, it ended up being third and four because he could not get through that line.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, don't count out Houston's defense. Houston is a solid defense. In fact, that first quarter, I felt like, man, I wonder if they can actually steal one here from Kansas City. So, you know, that's a good point. You know, we got to see it. Hilaire's got to be able to push it in from the 1 yard line. Otherwise, it could steal some carries from him.
Tyreek Hill, a lot of times, he did get that one touchdown. It was supposed to, in some sense, it was supposed to go to Hilaire as well, too. But at the same time, Tyreek Hill is not your PPR type of player. He is more of your standard, but with some blowout games.
Yeah, I mean, again, like we had talked about all season, I mean, he is not. And again, for the Kansas City offense, you saw the nice spread and distribution. And so Tyreek Hill, it's going to be tough for him to, you know, have tons of catches all the time. But, man, when he gets the ball in his hands, he is so electric. And, you know, he's with him getting a touchdown, you still got to be happy. I mean, he produced.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's take a quick look at some of the news and notes, just because we have a busy schedule today. Love to get you some of your thoughts.
Sure. So the only thing I was going to mention, you know, a couple of things. One is with COVID. You know, again, we haven't had any big things with the NFL, which has been great. You might have noticed in the NBA, just wanted to mention this, the Houston versus Lakers series. There was a key player for Houston, Daniel House, who basically was potentially exposed to COVID. You know, he invited someone in violation of team rules, took someone from inside out into his room. And so they had to sit him. And so he didn't get to play. And so it impacted a playoff game. Houston didn't have it. So I think you got to watch out for that with the NFL. There's going to be players who they're going to have to sit unexpectedly. You're going to have to watch, and it's going to play out that way. So just pay attention.
Did you see how each of the NFL players and also coaches was wearing a sensor watch that records? And so a lot of times they could trace it back who was the one that started this whole COVID?
Yep, exactly. They're really at the forefront of COVID testing, which is great, and they're pushing a lot of that. Also, you might have noticed after the game, people were wearing masks. Players were wearing masks because they were, you know, shaking hands with one another. So I thought it was a really good sign. And again, hopefully they can keep that up.
Hey, a couple of players I want to go through in terms of training camp. J.D. McKissic, running back Washington team, was named the RB1 ahead of Gibson. Are you buying it, or you're still all in on Antonio Gibson?
Oh, I'm still all in on Gibson. But again, with the rookies in particular, and we're going to talk about rookies later. But you know, with running back rookies, you have to really just kind of bide your time a little bit, because you want to see what they're going to do in the first couple games. Now, of course, we just talked about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You really busted out. But I'm not worried about that. I think you want to give them a little time and see how they do. Remember, we didn't have a training camp, so we didn't have as much time for people to see what they can produce. But I would still I'd still bet on them.
Yeah. Antonio Gibson a lot of times has a lot of different skills. McKissic has been around for a little bit. He has shown that he is not a very good fantasy production player. And so a lot of times you bet on that rookie right there.
Yeah, and sometimes coaches are trying to send a message, you know, where they want to start the veteran and say, hey, you got to earn your way up there. And so I'm okay with that. You know, it's the same situation in Indianapolis, same situation in Baltimore. Rookies are sitting behind a veteran, and I think that's fine. But you expect the talent and the skill to eventually win out.
Let me give you a list of players. Mike Evans, sure. Miles Sanders, Ayuk, Devontae Parker, Devery Henderson, all struggling with hamstring injuries. Any of these concern for you, especially Amari Cooper?
Yeah, I mean, this hamstring injuries, and we're going to talk about injuries actually next Monday as well and start to bring in some expert on it. But you need to pay attention to their practice designations. So when you see a player with a hamstring injury and it says that they were limited in practice, the one thing you want to look for is, do they get a full practice in, particularly on Friday? Friday is the last time you're going to hear about that player. If you hear that the player is still limited or in a DNP, which is did not practice, then you have to be concerned for Sunday and maybe think about sitting them because they might not be on the active roster list. With those players, particularly with week one, I'm expecting them still to come out. You know, again, watch the big one actually for me is Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders was limited on Thursday. I'm looking for full participation today. And if we don't see that, then I would downgrade accordingly.
Got it. The Colts have talked about Jonathan Taylor. They say, hey, look, don't redraft him to spell Marlon Mack. And so a lot of times is everyone's drafting Jonathan Taylor, but Marlon Mack is right on the waiver, or a lot of people are giving him his afterthought. You picking Marlon Mack now, starting him this week?
Oh, yeah. Again, for the first half of the season, I think Marlon Mack is going to be great, but I do think Taylor's going to take over in the second half. Again, as I mentioned with rookie running backs, I think you're drafting them really for the second half of the season. That's when things should start to pick up. But especially in Baltimore, I expect the same thing with Mark Ingram. I think Ingram, they're going to ride him until, you know, eventually J.K. Dobbins takes over. But in the beginning of the season, Marlon Mack is a great person to have. And for you, because you love doing trades, yep. Watch him have a great first 3, 4, 5 games, trade him when he's high, have Taylor coming in the background.
Yep. Or at the same time, if you see Marlon Mack doing really, really well, you see a lot of people start giving up on Jonathan Taylor. That's when you swoop in and try to get him as well, too.
Exactly. Perfect strategy.
Yep. I'm sitting here talking with you distracted because my wife's emailing me and texting me and calling me. What's Samantha's password? She's trying to get in. I'm sitting there. And then, do you know where her notes are that you left? I'm sitting there. I can't talk right now.
Yeah, the throes of being a parent in this moment of COVID, you know, we're all in there, right? I mean, the online situation with having to work with kids, and your wife's a teacher, so I know it's a struggle. So totally with you there, man. The other thing I'll mention is Von Miller hurt for the season out in Denver. Major, major blow to the defense. They're playing the Titans this weekend. I would upgrade all of my Titans, look for Derrick Henry to run all day. That defense is going to be really hurting without Von Miller. So pay attention there.
Also, David Montgomery, were you surprised that 2 to 4 week he suddenly now is back? And
yeah,
he'll be limited, but he's back.
Yeah, I was very surprised by that. And so actually, if you drafted him, you might have gotten away with one because he went a lot lower because of that injury. And so that was a good sign to see. We'll see how much they play him or if Tariq Cohen gets more. Also for the Bears, mentioned that Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn also were still out at practice. So I'm hoping that that turns around because if they're not there, that's a big upgrade for all the Detroit Lions playing them this weekend.
Ravens offensive coordinator says the Ravens backfield workload will change week to week. So who in the world are you picking? Is it Mark Ingram or is it J.K. Dobbins?
Well, for this game, it's definitely Ingram. I mean, there's no way they're not starting with Ingram first. And Ingram, don't count Ingram out, man. I was watching him in drafts just dropping and dropping. And that's one guy I was like, I'm happy to pick him late because this guy is still the starter. He still can produce. He's got that veteran presence. So particularly for this first game, I'm all in on Ingram and not on Dobbins. I'm waiting on Dobbins.
Got it. Good. And any other news or notes that you're...
The one last thing I'll mention, kind of an interesting tidbit. The Philadelphia Eagles signed Josh McCown as a virtual backup quarterback. So he's going to stay in his hometown in Texas because that way he's separate from the team so he can't catch COVID if something happens and spreads there. Yeah. And they know they have a healthy quarterback. I thought that was so interesting. It's, again, a sign of the times. Maybe something other teams will start doing. He's just going to participate virtually in all their quarterback talks. I thought that was really interesting.
Last one, San Francisco. Deebo Samuel looks like he's probably going to be out. Are you picking? Do you like anyone in terms of the wide receiving core over in San Francisco?
Brandon Ayuk got in a limited practice on Thursday, So pay attention to that again. But both of those, I'm not picking any of those wide receivers. Well, I mean, if you could pick up as a streaming option, but really I'm waiting for Deebo Samuels to come back. If you drafted him, I think you got someone really cheap, hopefully really late. Look for him to come back in week two.
Yep. Last one, Cortland Sutton. Sprained AC joint.
Yeah, terrible. You know, Sutton, I was really, this because everyone's counting on him in Denver. He has such a good rapport with Drew Lock. It's looking not an AC shoulder sprain. So that's, they're saying at least a couple weeks. But that's going to be a major downgrade for Denver. And it's a real disappointment because everyone's been up on Sutton. But Jerry Jeudy, look for Jerry Jeudy, yep. The rookie, have a lot more opportunities. Could be a breakout for him.
Yep, yep. Well, and this actually leads us to a great segment. So we have Jimmy actually coming in, and he lives over in the Phoenix area. He's going to come in every single week. We're going to ask him to look at rookies. So, Jim, I'm going to bring you in to highlight a couple of rookies.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good to have you, Jimmy.
Good to have you, Jimmy.
Good. I don't know where you start. I think we talked a little bit about this. Jed, you said a good point. I think rookies are really hard to – really think through whether or not they're going to be good this year. The first couple of you usually have preseason games to kind of look at some of these folks, but we don't have them this year, right? But if you're looking at the rookie class last year and you saw it with Hilaire last night, I mean, there's a lot of potentials, especially from a fantasy standpoint as well, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially at the running back position. To me, for rookies, the running back position is where they can just come right in and produce right away. We've talked about this before. I think the wide receiver position is really hard. It's just a harder position to learn. But definitely, obviously, with Hilaire, I mean, you saw running backs can really produce.
I mean, Hilaire was great. I think the other person that I'm intrigued by, I'm going to talk about the rookie running backs here in a little bit because I think they're really good. But Judy is very intriguing to me over in Denver, given that Sutton is going to be out at least one or two games. I think Judy is going to be a great fantasy pickup only because there's nobody else who's going to be there. And the offensive coordinator there just loves to throw that ball.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. I mean, I think Judy is one to watch. He was one of the top two wide receivers drafted really with CeeDee Lamb in last year's draft. And so he's got great skill set, is an excellent route runner, known for his route running, which particularly if he's going to be the number one and have the number one corner on him, that's something you got to pay attention to. But I would look for him this game and see if he could break out.
I will say, Jeff, if I look at it from my fantasy perspective, I wish that I drafted him earlier. He wasn't heavily targeted in the early rounds in fantasy this year.
Oh, no. A lot of you out there, he might be sitting on the waiver wire. So if you are looking for that flex position or you're trying to hit that last spot, he's probably someone you can pick up before this coming Sunday. He did go undrafted in a lot of leagues.
Mm-hmm. A couple of other rookies that I think are undrafted that people might want to pay attention to: Michael Pittman over at the Indianapolis Colts, as well as also Bryan Edwards. I know Ruggs is still available on some of the leagues waiver wires as well too. Both of them are starters for the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, and the Raiders is so filled with potential there with all the rookies. You got to kind of see how that's going to play out there. I mean, that offense is always a little bit of a question mark, but agree with you there. One of those guys could break out.
What do you think about Pittman over in
Indianapolis? That was a good one because, as I said before, I really like Rivers this year, and mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see. He usually finds a wide receiver that he has a good rapport with, so it'll be interesting to see if that's going to be Pittman. So I think that's a really good call out to see if he could be the one that develops that rapport. But I like the Indianapolis Colts. I'm up on them this year. So that's definitely one to watch.
Yeah, I think long term, Pittman's going to be a really good receiver. He's going to come in as the number two receiver right now after T.Y. Hilton. But like you said, I think Hilton's going to have a couple of good games, but I think long term, Pittman's going to be the one that you want to focus on.
Yeah, he could be the one to take over. This could be the year that they're kind of handing the torch. And you're right, him coming in as a number two, that's another good scenario to think about. So like compared to a Jerry Jeudy, who's probably going to be the number one with Sutton out. So he's going to have the number one cornerback covering him. That's a lot harder task than for Pittman, who's coming in with a number two, taking on that number two corner, probably has a better chance to produce.
No. And if you look at the running backs, I mean, look at it. I mean, we've got a ton of great rookies out there. You've got Hilaire, who did great last night. You've got Gibson, who most likely will come in as a starter here, at least by the first half of the season in Washington. You've got Taylor at the Colts, who's really going to come after Mac, but I think it's going to have long-term potential. Zach Moss from Buffalo is going to be really good as well, too. The person I've been really focused on, quite honestly, who I think is going to surprise a lot of people, James Robinson, the Jaguars running back. He's a 220-pound back from Illinois State. He finished second in school history in terms of rushing yards for the college. But I actually think he's going to do really well this week.
Yeah, that's a great call, Jimmy. And actually, in our league, I know someone picked up James Robinson just today for $35, spent one third of their budget. So you're totally right. He probably went undrafted. If you guys are listening now and go check on your waivers, James Robinson. Everyone was focused on Leonard Fournette, picked him up after he got traded, after he got dropped. But man, Robinson is the guy. This guy definitely could produce in Jacksonville. There's not a lot there with offensive wise, and so he could really have a big splash. That's a really great pick for this weekend.
Tom, were you the one who picked up James Robinson?
Yep, I was.
Okay, because I think I tried to trade for him this morning as well too, as I was thinking about him. But I think he's going to surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think if you haven't picked him up, go check your waiver wire. You could get him for cheap, could get him for free, but he's going to have the primary position. He should get a lot of volume there in Jacksonville. You know, Jacksonville is a real wild card this year. You know, we just don't know what's going to happen there because feels like they're tanking, feels like they're giving up on the season, but they still got to play. And there's always garbage time points, which in fantasy still count for everything. So we just got to see how it plays out.
I mean, the good thing is the coach really loves to run the ball. The only concern, as I've been looking at the Jaguars, is their offensive line is rated number 26 in the league. And I think Chris Thompson might actually take a number of red zone targets away from Robinson as well, too.
That's interesting. Yeah. And the other issue there is just how many red zone targets do they have, right? I mean, we got to see like how much offense they produce. That's one of my big concerns with the lower ranked teams is, you know, can they actually score? Can they get into the end zone? And so we'll see. I mean, I have high hopes, you know, with Minshew there too, Gardner Minshew, and hopefully the offense can be a nice juggernaut for us fantasy players.
Well, the thing is, a lot of times with the Jacksonville Jaguars, Jay Gruden is their offensive coordinator. And as he's shown in Washington, not only does he loves to throw to the running backs that can catch. And so a lot of the times is you're going to be throwing a lot, but at the same time, can Robinson show that he could not only catch, but also throw, I mean, run at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to target Robinson in trades in a number of my leagues. The problem is I think people have started to notice Robinson, and so I can see people not wanting to give him up as well, too.
Yep. Jim, what's one more running back that you're looking at?
I think long-term Zach Moss is somebody you want to pay attention to from the Buffalo Bills. He's really impressed in training camp based off of what everyone's been saying. He's a good pass protector and also a good receiver. I know they have Devin Singletary there right now, but I think throughout the season you're going to see Zach Moss becoming the lead running back as well, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as Tommy was talking about earlier, you got to look at volume. Like, how many carries does Moss get versus Singletary? I mean, I think that's the big question. It's interesting. The coach already said, though, that he's going to split and share carries between the two of them. So that was surprising to see. So we'll just see how, you know, coaches sometimes say one thing and then do another. So you just got to watch that volume. But I agree with you. Long term, I think Moss is going to win out there.
The problem I think that you've seen with Singletary is he's been fumbling the ball quite a bit in training camp. And so I think if he continues to fumble the ball in these first couple of games, I can see them going primarily more with Zach Moss.
Yeah, usually if you fumble, like, that's a quick trip to the doghouse, you know, especially with the younger players. So we'll see.
Got it. Hey, switching gears as well, too, not only from rookies, but week one, what are some games? Jed, I'm actually going to go through you. What are some games and some key matchups that you're looking at that really you're interested in?
Yeah, sure. And so, you know, I wanted to start this kind of discussion of the matchups with just a quick thing of like when you're looking at the matchups, and, you know, we're called NFL matchup, fantasy matchup. So what are some of the things you're looking at? And so what I was going to mention is really first, I want to look at opponents. So are you playing? What kind of a defense are you playing? What are the strengths of that defense versus your offensive opponent? So, for example, New England's got Stephon Gilmore, who's a shutdown cornerback. If you're up against him, you got to downgrade your potential wide receivers and just lower your expectations. The other big one is weather. I like to look at weather, particularly if it's an indoor and outdoor game. If there's going to be rain, you got to downgrade your passing game. That makes it a lot more difficult to throw. If you're indoor, then all bets are off, right? Everything is covered. So that's another thing to pay attention to. And then the final thing I'll mention is, you know, we talked about this a little bit, is, you know, I look at the Las Vegas lines. I do like to, you know, gamble a little bit on the side too, but I do look at the lines and the spreads. And the reason is you can get some information there. In particular, you can, the over-under line will give you an idea of which games should be high scoring. And if they're high scoring games, oftentimes those are the ones you want to hit up. So as an example, coming up this week, the Tampa Bay Bucks and the New Orleans Saints, they're one of the highest over-unders at 50.5. So looking for a shootout there. So basically, you want to play your Bucks players, you want to play your Saints players and get a piece of that pie. So that's one of the big games, along with the Dallas Cowboys and the LA Rams. I think that's another shootout game. So those are two matchups where I'm looking for a lot of points.
Well, it's interesting a lot of times as you and I chat, and for those who are listening, as players, you look at different things. Jed's looking at the LA lines. He's looking also at the weather. I actually don't pay attention at all to the LA lines. I'm constantly looking at matchups and who gets played. For instance, a lot of times with the Ravens, I'm looking at J.K. Dobbins versus Mark Ingram. is suddenly if they start Mark Ingram or let's say Marlon Mack over in Indianapolis, and suddenly now J.K. Dobbins or Jonathan Taylor isn't playing, some owners who may not be paying attention will now be open to a trade. So I'm going to go swoop in and try to make a trade for that desperate owner trying to and give him an A.J. Green who suddenly played a lot in week one but who has a tendency to get injured for J.K. Dobbins or Jonathan Taylor. So those are the ones that I'm constantly looking at. Who are the players that are emerging as well too? Or suddenly you get a hot player, you pick up that hot player, you turn them around and trade them for someone who's not paying attention again.
Yeah, and what Tommy's talking about is volume. So specifically, you can, in the day after, so Monday usually, you can get lists of volume, so the number of carries for running backs, and then attempts, so the number of passes to wide receivers, whether or not they caught it, just the number of attempts, the number of throws to them. And if you watch those volume numbers carefully, it tells you a little bit about the coach's strategy, the offensive strategy, which gives you a hint about who's going to really have the chance to produce. So for example, the J.K. Dobbins versus Ingram the discussion there, you want to see how many carries does Dobbins get, and then that tells you a little bit about what you might predict for the future. Another one I'll mention, Tommy, I'm going to go to. So I mentioned the Dolphins versus the Patriots. Again, if you have Devontae Parker, I've been high on him. I really think he's going to get a lot of volume with Miami, but I am lowering my expectations a bit because he's going up against Stephon Gilmore. So watch out for that. But tight end Mike Sisiski from Dolphins, not sure if that's how you pronounce it. I'm really looking for him to break out this game. New England has got a bunch of new linebackers. They're young starters, and linebackers are the ones who usually have to cover the tight ends, so I'm looking for him to potentially break out in that matchup.
Yeah. Hey, Jed, let me ask you. There's a bunch of scenarios as we go in the last 5 minutes. There's a bunch of scenarios I want to ask you, but also sure. Jimmy's opinion. Are there any matchups that stick out to you this week?
Well, I think, Jed, you actually just pointed it out, Miami as well as New England. If you looked at the stats from 2019, Miami gave up actually the most fantasy, the second most fantasy points. And so I actually think that Cam Newton over in New England will surprise a number of people.
Jed, any other thoughts on your end?
No, I like that. I agree with that on Cam Newton. He's been one I've got stashed as my second QB on a couple teams. Just want to see what happens. Yeah. And then the other one I was going to mention was the Cleveland Browns and the Baltimore Ravens. Again, it's a big spread. The Ravens are 8-point favorites there. And so I think for the Browns, you need to lower your expectations. It's a tough game to start with. And for J.K. Dobbins, you know, again, as I said, I personally would sit him. I would not start him this week. I want to see what his usage is like, what his volume is like before I count on him. I think the Ravens are going to ride Mark Ingram early. And so that's what I would do if I had Dobbins on my team.
Yeah. I agree with that as well, too.
Yeah, for me, is a lot of times I want to look at Green Bay versus Minnesota because I want to see how Aaron Rodgers does, especially this year. Everyone has lured him as a QB, no longer your top 10 QB in the league. And so how well would he do? And also with Philadelphia against the Redskins team, there is no wide receivers. They're trying to get rid of Alshon Jeffrey. How well will Jalen Reagor do? And so a lot of times I want to see him because he's out there a lot in a lot of waiver wires too.
Yeah, and Reagor was injured, and so I think that's why he dropped down. And actually, it's a good cheap one to potentially go out and get. And so if he is able to play, you got to see if he has the volume again. It tells you that he's back from his injury. But great point on that for Philadelphia. Back to the Minnesota game too with Green Bay. I think Adam Thielen is another one we talked about. He's taking over as the number one wide receiver. A lot of people drafted him as a number one. You just got to see how that's going to play out. I actually have him on team. I'm a little concerned. I just want to see because switching from the number two wide receiver to the number one is a big deal. You're going up against the number one corner now. I want to see if he can produce and continue his great PPR numbers that he usually gets.
Yeah.
With Minnesota Jefferson over, who's the slated third receiver, I think that's somebody to watch out for in that particular game as well, too.
Yeah, great call. Another good rookie to pay attention to. Had a great training camp, so would love to see how he does.
Hey, let me give you some scenarios up to both of you guys and see what your thoughts are. In the Raiders, are you going to pick up, are you going to play either Edwards or you're going to play Ruggs? Jed, let me start with you.
Oh man, can I say neither? Because I just, you know, I just don't know what the Raiders are going to do. And I think again, the Raiders, I look at Josh Jacobs, I look at Waller. Those are the guys that I'm paying attention to. But I guess if I had to, I would take Ruggs just because of his speed. You know, they say they're committing to the deep ball. You know, that's what they like to do with the Raiders. So I guess that's the guy that I'd go for, just given his talent.
Jim.
I'm the same way with you. I have Ruggs and Edwards, at least one of them, and quite a few of my teams. I've left them on the bench this week, partly because I just don't know what their usage is going to be. And I'll see what week one will bring us first.
All right. Let me give you four players, PPR, flex. Out of these four, who would you pick to start? Is it Marlon Mack, Tyler Boyd, Michael Gallup, or Julian Edelman? Jim, let me start with you.
Out of those four, I would really look at Gallup as well as Edelman. I think, like I said, Miami gave up last year the most fantasy points in terms of scoring. And I actually think Cam Newton will surprise you. And Edelman's going to be his primary receiver. And Gallup, I'm really high on the Dallas Cowboys offense. I think Dak Prescott is going to be the MVP this year. And I think between Gallup as well as also Mark Cooper and C.D. Lamb, he's going to have a great season. And I think Gallup is going to have a great week this week.
That's a great call on both of those. I agree with you. I think that's kind of where I would have leaned toward. But I would say, you know, with Marlon Mack, don't give up on the guy. I mean, I like the Colts. He's going to get the starter volume. We just got to see how much Jonathan Taylor, bites into that. But particularly from the running back position, he should, if there's a lot of scoring opportunities, he should have that opportunity for the goal lines and the touchdowns as well. But I like the call on the New England Patriots and Cam Newton with Julian Edelman. I think that could be a hookup. If they find a good connection, that could be a really fruitful place for fantasy.
I agree.
And more so, I would probably pick Julian Edelman because if you look at it, there is no wide receivers right now that's standing out. There is no second receiver that's standing out. Is it James White? We don't know what's happening with the running backs. Is it Rex Burkhead? And so a lot of times you don't know. So who do you go with the one player that is always there, Julian Edelman, especially this first game?
Yeah, and especially in a PPR league, I mean, he usually gets so much volume, and he plays that slot position a lot. And I'm going to expect that they're going to be throwing a lot of short, quick passes initially with Cam Newton just to get him used to the offense. In fact, you saw that last night with Deshaun Watson. They really changed their game plan a little bit where they're throwing short, quick, intermediate passes, and I think that's what's going to happen with Cam Newton as well.
All right, another question, another scenario. Jed, I'm going to start with you.
Sure.
Full PPR wide receiver. Are you going to do Marquise Brown or T.Y. Hilton?
T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. Hilton is definitely going to get more volume if you're in a PPR over Marquise Brown. But, you know, Brown, there's a chance of the potential for big play because they're playing with Cleveland. So I think they're going to really dominate. I look for them for that to be a blowout. And so there could be good points for them. But I'm going to go with T.Y. Hilton because, again, I think the volume should be there as the number one in Indianapolis. As I mentioned, I'm really high on Phillips. So we'll see what happens.
Jim, who are you starting this week, Marquise Brown or T.Y. Hilton?
I would start Marquise Brown. I agree with you, Jed. I think T.Y. Hilton is going to be your safe bet. My guess is he's going to get at least 100 yards. He most likely will get maybe one touchdown from Phillip Rivers. But I do think that given the deep threat of Marquise Brown, if you're going to gamble in terms of somebody who's going to score at least two touchdowns and have a long TD pass, I would go with Brown.
Interesting.
I like that. And you know what? For those of you who don't know, Brown bulked up over the offseason, added 20 pounds to his frame. So we'll see how his game changes because it's predicated on speed. But if he's able to maintain that speed and he added that frame, he could really dominate this year.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons. I think they're going to try to show him off a little bit. And I can see him actually going for a really long touchdown.
Yeah.
Quite a few points to your fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if this week, a lot of times you're playing the Browns, that Marquise Brown will play a third row and you're going to see a Mark Andrews and the running game in action. And so I probably will go with T.Y. Hilton on this one. Here's another scenario. Would you start in the flex DJ Chark or Raheem Mostert? Jed?
Oh, DJ Chark, Raheem Mostert. I'm going to go with Raheem Mostert there. Again, I like going with the carries, the running backs, when I'm not sure for the flex position. And so, I think he's going to get the bulk of the carries. And as we talked about, the wide receiver situation is really messed up in San Francisco. And so I feel like they're going to rely more heavily on the run game than normal. So I'd go with Mostert in that situation.
Jim, DJ Chark or Raheem Mostert?
I actually would go for a Chark. I think that they're going to try to ease Robinson into the game, and so Minshew's going to throw a lot more, and Chark is going to be his ideal receiver that he's going to focus on. So I can see quite a bit of volume going towards Chark. I can see him doing at least 100, 120 yards, and then maybe one or two touchdowns.
Here's one scenario, Jim. I'm going to start with you. DK Metcalf or Allen Robinson?
You know, I don't know if I'm high on either of them. If I were to choose, I actually would choose Allen Robinson. He's going to be the primary receiver. They're really going to focus in on him. Whereas Metcalf also has Tyler Lockett. He's going to have to Russell Wilson will have to focus on as well, too.
Jed?
I'll go with Metcalf, actually. I'm just not, you know, the whole Trubisky situation just scares me. Metcalf is a beast. I mean, this guy is huge. If you've ever seen him, when you see him play, he looks like one of those Madden players. He's just like so big and so fast. And so I actually think this could be the year he takes over from Lockett. So we'll see if that plays out. But I would roll the dice there and go with Metcalf.
One last question, and I want to give you some trade scenarios. Jed, Kenny Galladay got a DNP. Would you take a chance to start him?
Did not practice, and so that is concerning. No, basically, if he has another DNP today, then no, I'm not taking a chance on him. I don't like that going in. You want a sure thing in fantasy. You need to, 5 points in fantasy is better than zero. So no, I wouldn't take that chance.
Jim, what do you think?
I wouldn't take a chance on him, but I am smiling because I do have Marvin Jones in a number of my leagues. And so I think if Galladay's not going to play, you're going to expect big things from Marvin Jones. And I got Marvin Jones pretty cheap in quite a few of my leagues.
All right. Two trade scenarios as we wrap up that one, really ask you guys. Someone says, would you trade Julio Jones for Chris Carson and Odell Beckham? Jed?
Oh, that's interesting. That's not a big drop off from Julio to Odell Beckham. You're talking about roughly the fifth ranked receiver to maybe the, you know, 12th, 13th something. So it's not a huge drop off. And Chris Carson, man, I like Chris Carson. I think he's going to be a top 10 back this year. So I would say if you are looking for running back help, I would make that trade. If you feel you're already set at running back and you don't need that extra help, then no, I'm sticking with Julio. But if you need help, that's not a bad trade at all.
Yeah, Jim?
You know, I think normally I would say no, but because of all of the COVID stuff going on, I'm actually looking for more volume in terms of players versus just individual really, really good players. So I would potentially make that trade.
Yep. Last trade scenario, T.Y. Hilton, DJ Chark and J.K. Dobbins, all right? T.Y. Hilton, DJ Chark, J.K. Dobbins for Devontae Parker or Raheem Mostert. Would you do it, Jim?
Jed, I don't know. What do you think? I'm thinking right now.
And that is T.Y. Hilton, DJ Chark, J.K. Dobbins for Devontae Parker and Raheem Mostert. I would probably say no a lot of times, even though I love Devontae Parker. I think Raheem Mostert will do well. But at the same time, you're giving up T.Y. Hilton, the number one, Chark, number one, J.K. Dobbins, who has potential to do well the second half of the year.
Yeah, but I can see T.Y. Hilton not sustaining through the entire year. I can see J.K. Dobbins maybe not coming into fruition until midseason, whereas right now you can get a really good value in terms of Raheem Mostert, as well as also Devontae Parker, who's going to be there all season. So you have to take into consideration. So.
All right, we are out of time, and I'm not sure where Jed went, actually. So, hey, Jim, I'll talk with you on you'll come back on Friday again?
Okay, sounds good.
Got it. Well, his internet went out. So, hey, follow us on Monday follow us on Instagram and Facebook at fantasymatchup.nfl. That is fantasymatchup.nfl. We are so looking forward to week one, and we're going to be back to talk and look at all the games on week one, and we're actually going to talk about injuries as well, too, with a very special guest. So follow us at fantasymatchup.nfl. Talk soon.